This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
So we were talking about last time the necessity of recognizing our old self and what part the sin nature plays in our hindrance in walking in the Spirit. Because we're talking about life in the Spirit. But what does it mean to have life in the Holy Spirit? And what does it mean to have the Holy Spirit relate to us and empower us on a day-to-day basis? I'm going to unpack all that for you. But in order for us to do that, we have to recognize and come to a place where we understand what the sin nature does to us on a daily basis. In fact, I wrote an entire book on this called The Christian Zombie Killer's Handbook, Slaying the Living Dead Within, and really using this whole zombie thing as a metaphor of the sin nature. What I did was, is I wrote a full-on fiction zombie novel, non-Christian fiction zombie novel that is dark. It's got everything zombie fans love, but it's also got some humor in there as well. But anyway, every other chapter, I address the issue of the sin nature and what it means to be crucified in Christ, what it means to understand the sin nature, how it works, how to overcome it, how to walk in the Spirit, how to have a consistent daily win in your spiritual lives. Anyway, so part of this is understanding Ephesians 4 and verse 22. And it says that in reference to your former manner of life, that you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted. We talked about that continual corruption, that continual decay. But it's being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit or the desires of deceit, the way the sin nature deceives us. Then he says that you be renewed. So lay aside and then be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And by the way, that's how God works. God always works through the mind first, because truth is cognitive. It's objective. God designed the human mind to receive truth. And then that truth translates into our lives in a couple of ways. Number one, it affects our decisions and our will. Okay. That affects what we choose. So truth affects what we choose. And then we choose to obey the truth. And then eventually it affects our emotions. And I love the illustration of the train illustration, where you've got the engine of the train, which is the fact of God's word. You've got the follow-up car in the train, which is our faith or our choice in God. And then the caboose of the train is our emotions. And guess what? A train will run with or without the caboose. And it's futile to think that you would try to pull the train by the caboose. The caboose does nothing. The caboose doesn't motivate the engine. The caboose doesn't affect the car in front of it. It's being pulled along. So the point is that, you know, if you're not feeling it emotionally with God or with spirituality or with the decisions you're supposed to make, don't worry about it. You don't have to feel it, because faith is not a feeling. Faith is a choice that we make. And so eventually the caboose comes around, because guess what? It's attached to the rest of the train, but it's not necessary for the train to function. So the essence of faith is to walk with God when you don't feel it, when you're dry, when you're empty. Faith, man. I mean, that's the whole point of faith right there. Now, eventually, emotions do come around, because emotions just have to say, well, I guess we need to get on board this train, man. This is where this train is headed, and it doesn't seem to be stopping or turning around. It's headed in the God direction, so I got to get on board with that. Eventually, our emotions come around, but we can't trust in them. And so that's why he says, be renewed in your mind. Truth in the mind. And then he says, and put on, just like a garment, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and in holiness of the truth. So we now have two natures. We used to have one nature, the sin nature. Now we have two natures, and the new nature is the nature that God has put within us. It's the new us that's been created. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. This is the new creature part of us, the new self. And he put it on. Think about like going to your closet and making a decision. What will I wear today? And you're choosing. You're going, I wore that yesterday. You know, you see what you want to wear. Well, God says, wear the new self today. Make sure that new self is what you put on every single day, because that's the you that's going to last for eternity. Your sin nature is not going to go on. It's going to be eradicated either at the moment of your death or at the moment of your rapture. So put on that new self. Now, I'm going to skip now. I'm going to go over to chapter 5, because basically what Paul does in a lot of his letters is that he gives us several chapters of what is true about us, and then he starts telling us what to do about it. You know, we sometimes get that backwards. We want to go, what do I do? And God says, I don't want you to do anything first. I want you to know something. Know something about me, about you, about life, salvation, Jesus, heaven, hell, whatever. And then based upon that truth that has come into your mind, then you can make a decision about where to go from there. Okay? So he goes on. He keeps telling us these things that we're supposed to do, but I want to get over specifically where he talks about the Spirit here. In Ephesians 5, 18, and this is what he says, because the verses right before that, I mean, this is so cool. This so relates to where we are right now. It always relates, but think about it in terms of where we are now. He says, verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Now, why should we do that, Paul? He says, because the days are evil. Are the days evil? Hello? Can I get an amen? Yeah, the days are really evil. They're really dark right now. But he says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, the smart Christian, if you want to be a true woke Christian, the way the Bible defines it, then it's a Christian who is discerning, who understands what's going on in the world right now, and is not duped by the world's lies. But you understand what God would have you do during these times. That's what understanding what the will of the Lord is in the context of the days being evil. In the very next verse, he says this, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now let's unpack that for a minute. Okay, so he begins, do not be drunk with wine. Now people in the first century drank wine with their meals, okay? It was a low-grade alcohol wine. Basically, two parts water, one part wine, but that's what they drank at their normal meals. That's why Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for your stomach problems. But here's the deal. He says, do not get drunk with wine, and we'll find out what that means in a minute, for that is dissipation. Now, that's my New American Standard translation. Dissipation sounds like something the doctor would tell you that you have, and you'd take some, you know, antacids for it or something. But the word dissipation just simply means to waste your life. It's wastefulness and excess. It means you're blowing it. You know, that's what it means. You're just wasting it. And I mean, ironically, you know, getting wasted means you're wasting your life, is basically what he's saying there. So he's saying that when you're drunk, you're wasting your life. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of relationships. It's a waste of the stewardship that God has given you for your life. It's a waste. But he says, but. So that's a contrast there. So here's the hinge this whole command is turning on here. He says, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. So you think, well, is he saying then you should not fill your body with wine, but fill your body with the Holy Spirit? Is that what he's saying? No, not exactly. The contrast here, the word plerao is the word he uses here for to be filled. And the idea that he's contrasting it with is being drunk. So think with me for a second. When you're drunk, or when a person is drunk, what's going on? The alcohol is in charge. The alcohol has influenced a person to be or do something that they normally don't do, or that someone that they normally aren't. So in other words, when someone is under the influence of alcohol, they act and they say and they think and everything is affected about them. Their speech, their sight, their judgment, their decisions that they make, their relationships. Sometimes they become more bold to do things when they're drunk that they wouldn't do when they're sober, right? And you know, that's why, you know, that crazy aunt puts on a lampshade at Christmas parties, because she's had too much Christmas wine, right? Well, that's what alcohol does. So the contrast here is saying, let the Holy Spirit be in charge. Instead of alcohol, let the Holy Spirit be in charge. Let Him influence your thinking, your speech, your relationships, your discernment, your decisions, those types of things. So to be filled with the Spirit simply means to let the Holy Spirit be in charge. Now, there's two things I want to say about that, okay? In some church traditions, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, they interpret that as an actual experience, some sort of physical or emotional experience where they may break out into speaking in tongues type thing, right? This ecstatic babbling that we don't find in Scripture, by the way. But it's the whole idea that it's some sort of thing that happens to you. That's not true. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is simply a decision that we make to let Jesus be in charge, to let His Spirit be in charge of us at that moment. So let me take you over to Colossians real quick, because I'm going to get really practical about this thing. Because Colossians, he is paralleling this whole passage that he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 5. Listen to what he says in Colossians 3, verse 16. Oh, and by the way, after Ephesians 5:18, what happens when you're filled with the Spirit? He says, you're speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So he's saying that when the Holy Spirit is in charge of you, you tend to focus on spiritual things. Now, it doesn't mean that you become this holy monk kind of person. It just means that spirituality is the most important thing to you, and that you do express yourself to others and to God in that idea. You know, I was once in a Bible study in college, the leadership study, and one guy in the study was kind of he was kind of on the fence, you know, and kind of riding the world and trying to be in the church as well. And he began the study one time by saying, "Hey, why do we always have to talk about the Bible? I mean, can we just talk about football or something like that? Why do we talk about the Bible when we come here?" And the leader very wisely just turned to him and said, "Hey, bud, because spiritual people talk about spiritual things. If you're a Christian and you never talk about spiritual things, then you're missing out and your growth is stunted. And you need to check your spirituality and check your relationship with God. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, you end up thinking about spiritual things. That's just simple." Now, here's the parallel passage over in Colossians 3. He says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." It's almost verbatim is what he just told them that being filled with the Spirit meant. So he's making a parallel here. Now watch this now. I want to be very careful that you understand what I'm saying. The parallel between being filled with the Spirit and letting the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. But people say, "Wait a minute. Are you saying that we're supposed to worship the Bible?" No. That's not what we're saying. It's the Word of Christ. Okay? So when you let the Word of Christ richly make a home inside your head and inside your heart, then you're in essence letting Him be in charge, because the Word of Christ is simply the expression of the heart of Christ. Being filled with the Spirit is simply God's Holy Spirit expressing those same things within you. But how are you supposed to know what you're supposed to do? Well, let the Word of Christ dwell within you and you'll know. So these are synonymous terms: the Word of Christ dwelling richly, and let the Holy Spirit filling you, being in charge. Now, let me say a couple things, very practical things about being filled with the Spirit. Number one, being filled with the Spirit is something that happens to you and me many, many, many times a day. Okay? Why? Because we go off on our own. We go off road. You know, we take the wheel back from God. We get back on that throne and we want to be in charge. And so we sometimes will knock God off the throne and just say, "Nah, I think I'll make the decision on my own. I think I'll try to overcome this problem my own strength." And all of a sudden, you're not filled with the Spirit anymore. You're not letting the Spirit be in charge of you. So we have to make decisions throughout the day to say, Lord, I confess to you that either I sinned, or either I have just ignored you, or I've just felt like I've been living in my own strength, my own power. And so I acknowledge that. I want you to be in charge again, Lord, right now be in charge. That's it. That's being filled with the Spirit right there. And sometimes it's not like a prayer. You know, it's just simply a desire. It's simply expressing in your heart by faith, you want the Holy Spirit to be in charge. And so there's that. The second thing is, you're probably not going to feel any different after you're filled with the Spirit than you did before. In other words, you're not going to get a tingle down your spine. God's not going to, all of a sudden, the sun's going to come out from behind the clouds, you know, to confirm, yes, my daughter and my son, you are filled with the Spirit. No, that's not how it works. It's by faith. It's by faith that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And again, we're filled many, many times a day, as much as you are cognizant of the fact that you need to be filled, okay? And obviously, sometimes you're going into a meeting, you're going into ministry, you're going to church, you're going getting ready to handle your kids or whatever, and you need to be filled with the Spirit. You know, you need for Him to be in charge, because you know that your old flesh, that old person, that old man, that sin nature, that zombie, is not going to handle this situation properly. So that's what Paul was talking about. And guess what? The more you and I are filled with the principles of Scripture, the more we are filled with the Spirit. Now, I did not say the more that we just have simply knowledge of the Bible, we're filled with the Spirit. But the more we allow Him, notice the words He chose in Colossians 3, richly dwell within you. That means you're meditating on it. It means you're thinking about it. It means you're in it, you know? In fact, I was on the phone last night with my son. He just came back from leading a small group of young men that he's reaching with the gospel and with the Word of God. And he just said, Dad, I just realized that there's so much I don't know that I thought I knew. And verses I wanted to call to mind, I couldn't call them to mind. And he said, that just tells me, man, I need to be in the Word more. And that's exactly what we need as Christians. We need to go to the Word, get into the Word, let the Word get into us. And when that happens, you begin by default. You suddenly begin to quote Scripture. You suddenly begin to know what the Bible says about situations. You suddenly begin to read culture and other situations and relationships in ways that you never could before. Why? Because you've got the mind of Christ within you. And you're starting to think His thoughts. And that is the coolest thing ever. And in fact, that's exactly what Psalm 37:4 means. When it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's not some sort of magic formula that if we just simply have a quiet time and then ask God for anything we want, God will give it to us. No, the intent of the verse is saying that if our delight, our pleasure in life is in God, is in Jesus, then God is going to put within our hearts the desires that He wants us to have. And that is when we can begin to trust our intuitive thoughts, that we can begin to trust the thoughts that we're having in our head about things and follow that leading of God. That's part of what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 says, for as many are led by the sons of God, led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God and the daughters of God. And so that's part of that leadership. We'll talk more about that next time. But being filled with the Spirit means to allow the Spirit to be influencing your decisions. And it's not just simply what do I feel the Spirit's telling me to do? Well, the Holy Spirit, ready for this? The Holy Spirit inspired the Bible, okay? That was His job. And He gave everything that you and I need for life and for godliness, He put it in your Bible. So if you want to be filled with the Spirit, influenced by the Spirit, you need to be filled and influenced by the Word of the Spirit, which is in the Bible, because there's no disconnect between those two things. When we obey the Bible, we're obeying the Holy Spirit. When we obey the Scriptures, we're obeying Jesus, we're obeying the Father. So that's a little bit about theologically and practically what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And like I said before, that caboose, it'll eventually catch up. Those emotions will eventually come. Don't worry about your emotions. You focus in on faith and train your mind and your spirit to be faithful and to trust God by faith every day, many times a day, to fill you with His Spirit, to give you the empowering that you need, the supernatural enablement to be and to do all that He wants you to do. That's the word about being filled with the Spirit and about having life in the Spirit. I'll talk to you more next time about this incredible topic. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.